Good evening and welcome. I'm Kelly Richards, CEO of the All Access Group and the host of All Access Radio. As a highly sought-after consultant, super connector, trusted advisor, celebrity wrangler, and thought leader, I connect innovators and influencers from Silicon Valley to Hollywood to Madison Avenue. As a trusted advisor, I transform the quality of people's lives. I'm also the author of the best-selling ebook, The Magic and Moxie of Apple, An Insider's View. Tonight's guest on the show is Dr. Judith Orloff. Judith is a board-certified psychiatrist, speaker, and best-selling author, as well as an assistant professor of psychiatry at UCLA. Transforming the face of psychiatry, Judith Orloff asserts that we are keepers of an innate intuitive intelligence so perceptive that it can tell us how to heal and even prevent illness. Her latest national bestseller, The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life, describes the power and impact of letting go in everyday life, health, wellness, relationships, money, you name it. Dr. Orloff has spoken at medical schools, hospitals, the American Psychiatric Association, at the Fortune Magazine's Most Powerful Women Summit, and at alternative and traditional health forums. Her work has been featured on the Today Show, CNN, Oprah Magazine, Forbes, and USA Today, among many others. Judith was also voted Most Inspirational Person for the Reader's Choice 2012 Awards on About.com, which is a New York Times site. Welcome to the show, Judith.
Thank you.
Dr. Orloff, I want to start by asking, having a trusted advisor in one's life is so important. Who have been some of your mentors along the way, and have you ever mentored others?
All the time. I've had many mentors in my life, and certainly because I'm a psychiatrist and I bring intuition in my work, there was a lot of guidance I needed on how to do that with my patients. And so I've had numerous trusted advisors, from Stephen Schwartz, who was a remote viewer and a mentor of mine in terms of how to really trust your intuition enough and know that it's authentic, and to bring it into my work with patients. My spiritual path is out of Taoism, so I have a Taoist teacher for the past 25 years who is probably the most important person in my life, who has guided me in many ways on spiritual levels and how to follow the path of the heart. And I mentor people all the time. I am on staff at UCLA, and I'm an assistant clinical professor of psychiatry, and I mentor medical students and psychiatric residents on how to incorporate intuition into their practices.
I'm really glad to hear that. It's one of the things I find so unique about your orientation, is that you really do weave the spiritual aspects in to what is traditionally more of a left brain focus, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I combine all my traditional training with intuition and spirituality and energy medicine, so I use it all.
I love that about you.
I
really do. On the topic of mentors, I just want to say I'm privileged to have worked with Steve Jobs was a personal mentor of mine.
Oh, my goodness.
But so is Alan Cohen. And I don't know if you know of Alan Cohen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Figured you probably did. And, of course, you know, his being on his focus is heavily weighted towards the spiritual aspect of living one's life, very much aligned with the ecstasy of surrender. And,
yes.
And so I really resonate with the book, and we'll get into it in a few minutes here. The book itself. Now, you claim, and I agree, that everyone has an innate intuitive intelligence that can be used to heal disease and even prevent illnesses. What are some examples of how this intuition can manifest if we're open to it?
Well, intuition can be perceived as a gut feeling or a knowing in the body. You can't really find it if you're just in your head. And so it means listening to your body and listening to the signals your body sends. For instance, if your energy goes up around somebody, then that most likely is a very positive person for you. But if your energy goes down around what I call energy vampires, or people who suck you dry, your body is intuitively telling you that these people are not good for you. So just simply listening to that one fact can transform your life.
I could not agree more. Boy, is that well said. So well summarized. And believe me, I obviously have had my own share of life experiences where that's been proven out time and again, as I'm sure many of our listeners have, and I know you have. Now, go ahead.
You have to trust yourself and your intuition. If you just live up in your head, half of your perceptual abilities are going to be alien to you. You're going to be working on, you know, half time. You're not going to be really utilizing your full potential. So my view is that you use the intellect and excel in it, but you also listen to intuition, but you trust it and act on it. Because if you go into a business deal with someone you're getting a horrible gut feeling about, most likely that's going to turn out terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just had a situation like that recently. I had a long-standing back-and-forth set of negotiations, went on way too long with a prospective client, and he wouldn't honor what he had offered me verbally, in writing.
Yes.
And I could not get him to do it, and it was just getting more and more painful, and it actually did cause some illness on my side. I overrode the intuition because, the intellect was saying, but this could be such a great opportunity, and it had, you know, bad consequences. So luckily I was able to move on from that, but it was funny because I was reading Ecstasy of Surrender when that was going on, and it really helped quite a bit for all the reasons we just discussed and many more. Now, I understand you didn't always embrace your intuition, Dr. Orloff, and in fact, you struggled to accept it yourself at first, as you chronicled in the book Second Sight. Can you tell us a bit about your own journey of discovery and when you decided to start taking it seriously?
I was brought up by two physician parents, and I have 25 physicians in my family. So I have a very strong scientific heritage, and I grew up a child who had premonitions, and I could predict things and know things and sense things. And I would share those premonitions with my parents, and they got so afraid that they forbade me to ever talk about them at home. So I grew up believing there was something wrong with me. And so I ran from myself for many years, you know, as a teenager, and got very heavily involved with drugs and, you know, really tried to escape my own sensibilities. And then my life turned around where my parents forced me to go see the psychiatrist who I write about in Second Sight. And he said, in order for you to be whole, you have to embrace your intuition. You have to. You have to embrace these things that are happening to you. It'll make you more whole. And
right.
So that started my journey. And then I had a dream. I'll just fast forward. A lot of it is in Second Sight. But the fast forward is that I had a dream that told me to go to medical school to get an MD to help legitimize intuition in medicine. And this was at a time when I had dropped out of school and I was working in the towel department in the May company and living with my boyfriend in Venice Beach. So I didn't have any desire to go to medical school. But I had a dream. And because I was beginning to trust my intuitions, I re-enrolled in one course in a community college, and then one course became 14 years of medical training because I trusted enough just to enroll in one course. I didn't believe anything would happen, but by doing so, I found my destiny.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of room in the field of traditional medicine for spirituality or other intangibles like naturopaths and integrative medicine and chiropractic and acupuncture, although that's changing. What has been your biggest challenge, Dr. Orloff, in trying to create space in the community for these ideas to really flourish and take hold?
Well, I think my biggest challenge is patience. You know, really, because a lot of the traditionally trained doctors have gone through such rigorous medical training, it's very hard for them to know the experience of a lot of the things that I talk about because they haven't had it personally. And
yeah.
So it's like trying to describe the color green to somebody when they haven't seen it before. And so when I speak to physicians in medical settings or I, you know, speak to people where there is resistance to the idea that there's something more than a linear mind, you know, I'm very gentle and I use facts and I say, look, if you listen to your intuition with this patient or you teach your patient to trust her body, how is that going to help her? And so I used very concrete examples, you know, down-to-earth examples so they could understand it. I don't start with premonitions. You know, I don't start with communicating with the other side. You know, I'm just very practical about the way I present intuition to other physicians or anyone with resistance. I guess my biggest challenge and what I've learned, you know, to how to deal with people who are resistant simply because they haven't had the experience.
Yes.
You see, and so it's hard for them to grasp that it's real. To them, it's some kind of fabrication. You see,
until they internalize what you're trying to teach lay people, who themselves are lay people, we're all individuals. Until they've experienced and embraced and internalized some of that for themselves, it's challenging to explain.
It is, and I just want to say I'm giving a workshop up at Esalen Institute in Big Sur the weekend of July 26th. Yeah, and so I teach people to open to their intuition and listen to it. And we walk through all the resistances and everything you're afraid of and why you think it's not real and then how to apply it. So it's a beautiful retreat center in Big Sur, Esalen Institute. And you, Kelly, maybe you could come. It's a wonderful, you know, weekend to just awaken
intuition. I would love
intuition.
To explore that. It's in my backyard here up in Northern California.
Oh,
and I love that you're doing that. I have to give you an example of where this has not, where I've crossed this situation many times as well in my own personal healing. But, you know, you talk about animal companions and the importance of that as part of what we do in the Ecstasy of Surrender. And I have a beloved cat who manifested a tumor in his spine. And they pulled it out successfully, but the oncologist said, it's terminal. And we want to do radiation and all this. Intuitively, both myself and Milo, the cat, did not accept that diagnosis.
Right.
And I knew not to accept the radiation that was being offered. And so, you know, you would call it a miracle, I suppose, but he's thriving today. This is 2.5 years later.
Oh, bravo.
Because neither one of us was willing to accept that diagnosis. And the oncologist was very clinical and cold and sterile and matter of fact. And I overrode what he was saying, as did Milo, because, you know, multidimensional being. And here he's still here. He's right by my side. So... this is just a side example of where that goes on. And, of course, it happens to us people as well, not just our animal companions.
Absolutely. To listen to your intuition about people, about jobs, you know, about who you fall in love with, you know, who you're in relationship with, who your friends are. Do these people feel good in your body? You know, it's a question to ask.
Yes.
How does your energy feel? How does your intuition feel around your circle of people? I hope it feels good, because if it doesn't, you know, people are like medicine. They can be good medicine or bad medicine.
Exactly.
And I talk
right.
about, you don't want to surrender to the wrong people.
Oh, that's for sure. And and I think so many people are unhappy. And if they just realize they have the power to decide who they want in their lives, slow down enough to let the intuition take hold and just let it become part of your practice, you'll make so much, your decision making will be so much clearer, and you'll make better choices and have, you know, get the toxicity out of your life. We all have the power to do that to a certain extent.
We do. And, you know, the great geniuses in the business world have used their intuition. And Conrad Hilton was known for Connie's hunches. And he would get these, you know, numbers in terms of what he should offer, you know, for things and whether he should go forward with various business deals. And certainly Steve Jobs was a big proponent of intuition. He believed
Well, that
in
may
it.
Have been his biggest gift to me personally. But I will say I really appreciate you pointing that out in The Ecstasy of Surrender with that famous Stanford commencement speech, because, you know, he really rarely did that kind of thing. And that speech was so powerful, and I don't know how many tens of millions of people have watched it by now, but you brought up you culled out the part of the speech about his passion for following his intuition and why that was so important, and that was a huge piece of advice he was giving to those graduates.
Oh, huge, huge. And, you know, and it's advice he's giving to all of us. You know, when you look at a genius like that, and he's modeling intuition, it's very powerful. You see, and so everyone who's listening to this show today, even if you think you don't have intuition, even just begin to, you know, ask yourself, what does my gut say about this, that, or the other? Or if you're, you know, feeling exhausted, let's say, you know, tune into your body to find out how it can replenish itself. What do you need? Ask your intuition.
But
no,
I think
you
that's
rest.
You've got to slow down enough to listen, because it speaks to us in whispers. It doesn't bang us over the head like a brick wall unless we ignore it.
Yeah, it doesn't. But the thing is, in the ecstasy of surrender, I talk about surrendering to intuition. And that's an ongoing process. But it means surrendering to the messages that your body sends instead of fighting them, second-guessing them, arguing with them. No, really, if your body says, I'm tired, you need to rest. And
yes,
if you don't rest, you will suffer consequences. No, intuition won't force you to do anything. No, if your body says, I like this person, but if your mind says, they don't fit my picture, but your body says, I like him, you know, you need to go towards him. And this is what I teach my patients all the time, because the mind can sometimes argue you out of surrendering to your intuition. But in this book, I wanted to talk about how to surrender to it more and more, because as a psychiatrist and as a woman, I know only good things will come if you do that. Only good things.
You couldn't be more right. And I got to say, I love this book so much. I want you to know, Dr. Orloff, I read 2 books a week. And this book is so powerful, The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. Love the subtitle as well. This book has become and will be one of my favorites on my personal bookshelf of favorites. It's nothing less than a manual, a life manual, the one that was missing that none of us got. And I'm only sorry that you just published it last year and I'm halfway through my life and I only just read it, because I sure could have used it years ago. But it's just that good. I don't gush like this about most books, but I'm gushing about this one, and it's why I reached out to ask you to be a guest on the show, because it's just that powerful. So much good information. I'd love for you to I'd like to just tell listeners what the 12 things are quickly, and then I have to encourage everybody to go read the book. I'm not sure I want to go into the 12. I don't want to go there, because I want people to find them for themselves. But I'll go over the 4 sections. You cover power and money. You cover reading people and communication. You cover relationships. That's business, love, and otherwise. And sensuality, why that's so important in one's life. Mortality and immortality. And, of course, embracing ecstasy. These are critical life topics, and you go into some detail with each of the individual 12 ways. It's just so powerful. Could you elaborate, perhaps, Dr. Orloff, for our listeners on at least one of these 12 ways and give us an example of how this has played out in your own life?
Well, in each chapter, I go through different topics and how surrender applies to it. And surrender applies to business. It can apply to health and healing. It can apply to soulmates and relationships. And it can apply to communication. And, you know, I think this book was a living meditation for me as I wrote it, because why I wrote it was that I asked myself, what do I want the most in my life? And it was to be able to surrender more and to be less rigid, less controlling, you know, more trusting, more flowing. I wanted that because I know the benefits, you know, of the body. And I guess for me, a benefit of the book, a huge benefit of the book, was that I worked on surrendering a lot of my negative patterns with men and romance and relationships, surrendering it and then surrendering to something positive. And
right.
So for the past, yeah, so, and as a result of that work, I've been with an amazing man the last year and a half and totally changed my patterns of relationship, you know, surrender, yeah, looking, because the chapter on soulmates, you know, especially being attracted to unavailable men, which is one of my patterns that I needed to surrender, you know, just working with that and letting it go allowed room for something better to come in.
And so unavailable can be defined as truly unavailable, as in the person's in another relationship, or they're unavailable for other reasons, commitment, et cetera.
Yeah, or they make an amazing connection with you one night, and then you don't hear from them for a week or 2 weeks. Just unavailable is not being consistent. Unavailable is not being there for you and being a real partner. I mean, I really wanted a partner in my life, and I wasn't getting them, not really. And so, so I worked, as I wrote the book, I work with my own healing and healing that. And so far, so good, you know, with the new pattern for myself.
Let's elaborate on that for just a moment, if we could. What changed? What was the pivot point in that particular example where you no longer attracted or would accept unavailable men, and now, of course, you've got a great relationship? What was the what shifted in you? How did you shift?
Well, I was in a relationship prior to this one that caused me amazing, enormous pain, and it was just beyond. I reached my bottom with it, and then my personal healing was that I reached out to tantric practitioners, and I worked with a few tantric practitioners to help kind of remold my imprinting on men and to create more patterns. Rather, therapy wasn't working for me with it, you know, just talking about it, it just wasn't getting anywhere. So I wanted to, you know, work with energy, the tantric sexuality, and shifting patterns in my own body, which was very enormously helpful. And I talk about that in the book, in the relationship section, for those who are interested in tantric solutions. As a lot of times people stay in therapy, why am I not in a relationship? Why do I keep attracting unavailable people and nothing ever changes? And so I wanted more of a body transformation.
More of a somatic approach in that regard.
Somatic, exactly.
Which is also a very powerful modality that I'm not sure a lot of people know about. So, again, we're touching on one of the 12 ways, and we're only touching on it. There is so much depth in this book. I cannot express how important it is for everybody to read it. And I just don't normally go on about books like that, but this one really hit me. It's just, you know, I don't know about you, Dr. Orloff, but when I go into a bookstore these days, normally I buy things on Amazon, but when I go into a bookstore, the right books jump off the shelf.
Right, yeah.
Why is that? Because our intuition is so attuned to what we need.
Exactly.
And the answers sometimes are in a book. So
exactly. It has to be the right book at the right time.
I'll say. And in fact, I actually think in your case with this particular book, it showed up on Amazon. It was like I had bought something, I don't know what, and this showed up and said, take a look at me. And I did. And I went, boy, I fell into the well like Alice in Wonderland, you know.
Wow. So that's beautiful that you listen.
Yes. And I was greatly rewarded for doing so. Another example. Some people might equate surrender with weakness or lack of control. Of course, we know that's the ego mind. But what would you say to them if that question came up to you?
I would say that's kind of the 1950s definition of it, and that, you know, it's used in spiritual circles as a highly devotional state to strive towards for an entire lifetime. And it's a devotion to life, and it means surrendering to the right things. It doesn't mean surrendering to everything and giving up. It means letting go to life so you're not fighting it so much, but surrendering, let's say, to positive people and not surrendering to negative people, knowing what to move towards as a natural flow in life that you can only connect with intuition. And once you get a sense of that home and that flow, you want to go with it. You don't want to fight it. And so once you know, part of the book is helping you to get in touch with that flow. And then it's not failure or defeat at all. It's about summoning your power. It's about connecting to your true power and making really discerning choices about what you want to let go to, and being willing to give up some control, because you can't control everything. And as much as you might like to, and the results are so much better in so many cases if you could just let go.
And you're talking about surrendering when it comes to people. It's equally powerful to surrender the negative thinking if you like, to a more positive orientation, which we all have control over. We all have control over our attitudes and our mindsets, and to a certain extent, our beliefs.
Yeah, exactly. And then also surrender to love. When you're in a love relationship, you can keep going deeper, 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 and surrendering to it rather than keeping even your mate at a distance.
Or keeping score.
So again,
yeah, keeping score,
there's a lot
of not surrendering.
This kind of stuff touched on. lots in the book. I imagine some of our listeners may be wondering what it means, what it really means to let go, and how to tell this is genuinely happening. For example, how can you tell whether you're really letting go of a negative emotion or just choosing to ignore it and focus on other things? How can you tell you're shifting it versus just gliding past it?
In a way it doesn't matter as long as you're, you know, changing your behavior and going with the positive. Sometimes changing your attitude is a matter of will, where you have to say, I'm not going to let this fear overtake me. I'm not going to be thinking about it all day. I'm going to be saying to myself, I'm going to have a beautiful day. This is a wonderful day. And then in 12-step programs, they talk about acting as if.
Yeah.
You know, and that's powerful. I mean, I think that is a form of surrender, just surrendering to new behavior, even if your mind is lagging behind and wanting to do it.
Just do it anyway and let the mind catch up.
I would, yeah.
Now, another one of your books, Positive Energy, explores what you call the American epidemic of exhaustion. What do you think is at the root of this, and what is one specific strategy my listeners can use to create more energy in their daily lives?
I think the root in our Western culture is, you know, our over-intellectualized workaholic society that only, you know, gives stars for, you know, how much you work as opposed to how much you relax or take care of your body. And so it's, you know, a horrible, you know, health hazard, that belief, you know, for people worldwide. And so the one thing you could do immediately if you want to is just take a big breath and exhale. You know, instead of holding your breath and clenching and tightening and picking your cuticles and grinding your teeth and feeling your shoulders go down, you know, and hunching over, that's all the sign that you're not surrendered. You know, the body
right.
will tell you. You know, and just reaching up to the sky, you know, reach your arms up. You know, especially as you age, that's a really good thing. Go up, don't go down. But if you're not surrendered, you're going to crunch over and age horribly. You know, there's a chapter on aging, which I like a lot, you know, in terms of how to age in a more surrendered way. I mean, not to give up, but to, you know, get, you know, surrender to your most powerful gorgeousness.
I love that. Breathing is critical. And now when you talk about raising your arms up, it puts me in mind of something I did intuitively again last night. I actually bought Rodney Yee's yoga, you know, 20 minutes. He's got these two yoga DVDs. One's on AM yoga, one's on PM yoga. And simple yoga stretching you can do 20 minutes, morning and evening. And I used them when they were VHS tapes years ago. And so I decided to buy them as DVDs. But I remembered how powerful that was, and even when I was so much younger. So I'm doing it now, and I was intuitively led to go get those and do that because it just is a modality that can really support us as we're aging.
Oh, and always stretching is a form of surrender. Just, you know, stretching very gently, and it's feeling your tendons and ligaments relax rather than constrict and tighten. You know, that's an element of physical surrender. No, and then in terms of emotional surrender, just, you know, let someone else be right once in a while. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
a form of, you know, that's a great exercise in surrender. Just, you know, if somebody's making a point, just go, you know, you're brilliant. You bring up a great idea. You're right. You know, thank you.
I never thought of it that way.
Exactly.
That's
a form of surrender.
Yeah. And it's also reinforcement of the other person.
Exactly.
So,
and people love to be right. They love to be right, and they never are. You know, people never give them that. It's always a fight. So if you give them that, I love letting people be right because it makes them so happy.
Well, and it makes your relationship flow easier too.
Yeah. And especially in, you know, with your spouse, you let your spouse be right. Anyone listening now is having trouble with your, you know, spouse, just let them be right and see the effect on your relationship immediately. Watch the shock look on their face when you're actually allowing them to be right.
So
it's
powerful, so simple,
thing.
But so powerful. So I do recommend.
Yeah, these are exercises in surrender. They're not complex. They are simple, but you have to get over your mind's resistance to it.
I tell you, it's just going to be on my nightstand forever. And I do recommend that all my listeners pick up a copy, The Ecstasy of Surrender, 12 Surprising Ways Letting Go Can Empower Your Life. And also watch Dr. Orloff's TED Talk on the same topic, equally powerful. Although, the book, everybody should have a copy. Now, if you had one piece of advice for our listeners hoping to cultivate their own healing powers of intuition and trusting themselves, maybe something that's not in any of your books, Dr. Orloff, what would it be?
Something that's not in any of my books?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of live and breathe, you know, what I teach. But I think most important, look up, you know, at the heavens, look up at the universe and realize you're only a small speck in compared to the wonder of it all, and you know, never think that your life or your problems or this earth is the only reality, that we have many multidimensional realities, and the way to, you know, have a touchstone to that is look up at the beautiful night sky and just contemplate what's up there.
I love that. And my piece was going to be related to that. It was going to be let go, you know, trust life, don't fight life, you know, allow yourself to enjoy it because it's very temporary and limited.
Very
and
temporary.
We do ourselves a disservice if we don't embrace the power and the ecstasy of surrender. So before we finish our chat, we are winding down, Dr. Orloff, mindful of your time, I have to ask you the most important question that I try to ask each of my guests, and that is, what comes next for you? What's the one project or collaboration that you haven't yet started that you dream about creating?
Well, I'm actually writing a book on empaths now. So it's people who are, you know, very, very sensitive and loving and open and intuitive but tend to take on the angst of the world. So I'm writing a survival guide for empaths.
Boy, sign me up as somebody to read it for you before it gets published. That's my middle name. I will love it. I'm looking forward to it already. Well, let me thank
you. And I'm talking about that also at the workshop at Esalen in July 26th. So that's always a part of how I teach intuition.
My listeners need to be there, but something tells me I need to be there as well.
That would be fun.
So I look forward to it. But Dr. Orloff, let me thank you again for taking time out of what is undoubtedly a very busy day to join us. I've really enjoyed having you, and I'm certain my listeners are going to get a lot of benefit out of this as well.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being on your show and connecting with you.
Thank you. And also, I want to thank my show producers, as I do each week, Mary Agnes Antonopoulos and Jessica Mastors. They do a wonderful job for us. Thank you as well to my listeners who join us here each and every week. We will hear you again next week on the next episode of All Access Radio. Good night, everybody.